First, though, let's turn to an alarming situation in the present, a very alarming situation in Syria. All week we've been seeing disturbing images from the town of Madaya on the border with Lebanon, photos and videos of residents there who are starving, including severely malnourished children whose bodies look barely more than skeletons. Those of us in the newsroom who've seen the images find them really hard to look at. Doctors Without Borders says at least 23 people have died from starvation since December 1st, and that those who remain have been eating boiled grass and leaves. All of that because the town has been under siege since July. We reached Dr. Amar Ghanem to tell us what's going on. He's from Syria, and he's on the board of the Syrian American Medical Society here in the U.S.
The only food entered the town was back in October. One time, entry of food that was maybe enough for a day or less, and that's it. So for the last 6 months or so, the tight siege, nothing is allowed to come in, and nobody is allowed to get out as well, because the regime and Hezbollah surrounded the town with the checkpoints, and in between the checkpoints, they planted landmines. So anybody who would think about escaping his life from hunger and starvation, he will die from landmine or by a sniper.
So Hezbollah and the government of Bashar al-Assad have surrounded the city, is that right?
Correct.
Why have they surrounded this one city? I mean, why is it a target?
I believe one reason is because the Badani area and Madaya, the Badani is the main town next to Madaya, but it's currently empty of civilians there. It was area of, protest, peaceful protest at the beginning, and then later on, armed conflict. And Madaya also the same situation. So these towns are being punished, and people of these towns are being punished because of that reason, because they went against the regime at the beginning.
Now, I know you're from a town near Madaya yourself. You have family who are stuck at this other town. What have you been hearing from them? I mean, what is day-to-day life like when you're stuck in a city like this and no food?
I'm from Zabadani. Zabadani is the main area, and there's nearby two villages. One is Madaya, and the other one is Buludan. I'll tell you one personal story of my cousin. She lost her husband, by the way. He died in prison after 3 days, tortured to death. 3 days, he lost his life. And then he left her with 6 children. Oh. And then she was living with these children in Buludan area, being safe, living there. But when she was shopping on the market, she was picked up by the army and thrown into Madaya area, separated from her 6 children. Now she tried to escape from one area, and landmine exploded on her. So do you see how miserable life? This one example, I mean, of what's going on there.
So she's dead and left behind 6 orphans?
No, I mean, she had major injuries, including, yeah. I mean, part of her right foot is being amputated. And she had the big injuries also on the body. She's at the hospital. But see the suffering. She lost her husband. She had nobody to help with her 6 children. And then later on, you know, she gets picked up and thrown into that larger prison, facing starvation. And when she tried to escape, look what happened to her.
So these are the backstories that you know really well to what's happening now in Madaya. What is it like for you, both as a Syrian, as a physician, as somebody who knows these stories, and they've been happening for months now, to now see these images coming out of Madaya of starving children?
I'm losing trust in humanity. I don't know why this is happening, you know. I don't know why, I mean, these people are being punished like this, what they have done wrong. I feel very sorry, especially when I see the images of the children. Innocent children, that they don't know what's going on around them.
Dr. Ghanem, there was a little glimmer of hope yesterday when we heard that the Syrian government agreed to let food enter Madaya, and the Red Cross says the aid should get there by Monday. How likely is it that they'll follow up on that promise?
Well, we called them today, and they said nothing entered yet. And every day, people are dying. So more delay, more people are dying. And now, the other issue we face here, I mean, people have some hope, but at the same time, that hope is mixed with a lot of fear. Why they are fearing that, you know, nothing will come. This is another lie that's happening from before. Because they lied to them for the last 6 months. They're telling them there is every day that something is coming to you and never happened. So how are they going to trust that? And the other issue, they're also fearing if they enter them a small amount, okay, and then they leave them alone for another year or so. Mm. And we need a long-term solution, not just one time you go in, okay, and give them some food and everybody forget about it again.
Dr. Amar Ghanem with the Syrian American Medical Society, thank you very much.
Thank you. I appreciate your time.